He pummels his block. He's in. Touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, Kaminsky. His second today. Kaminsky rolling out, and he throws to the corner. He's got a man pulled in. Touchdown, Tang Tang. Yes, sir. Touchdown, North Dakota. How about that?
UND Football 360.
Going deep. They've got something they like. It is caught deep downfield. B.J. Fleming, touchdown, North Dakota. Touchdown, North Dakota. 82-yard catch and run, and UND strikes first.
Analysis, commentary, news, and a look ahead. Look ahead. It's all things UND football. This is the UND Football 360 Podcast.
Touchdown, North Dakota!
With your host, Kelly Howe, and Tank McNamara.
Well, we are coming off a bye week as we get set for a game in Iowa coming up. Northern Iowa on the schedule. Boy, when we first heard about Missouri Valley Conference football, they were the program, weren't they, Kelly?
They were up there, yep, and for a long time, Mark Farley was the coach for quite a while, and they were kind of up there. They're what, you know, NDSU emulated, wanted to be like. Well, they figured that out pretty quick, and, you know, they always had the body types and the sizes, and we'll get into that, but, yeah, they were just kind of what, back in the day, you wanted your line, particularly defensive and offensive line, you wanted them to look like Northern Iowa.
Yeah, my first memory of Northern Iowa was doing the radio sidelines, and UND played a game against them, and we won.
Yeah.
And they happened to be, they were raising a national runner-up banner that day, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. Come on. That's kind of you guys are better than that, right? You don't need to raise a national runner-up banner.
Yeah, that is kind of lame. You know, they don't need to do that. Yeah, but, they'd probably die to be able to raise a national runner-up banner these days, because it's been quite a while since they've been relevant on the scene.
Now, bye weeks, they can be good, they can be bad, they can come at good times, they can come at bad times. Kelly, did you have bye weeks when you played?
No, I don't think so. We we started later.
You guys were men.
Yeah,
right?
Wish we had one, but no, they started later. So, you know, started, second week of September is when they'd start, and then just roll right through. So, no bye weeks back then. But I would say this one, though, Tank, is pretty well-timed.
Needed, yep. Yeah. I mean, if you were to put one on the schedule, yep, even at the beginning of the year, would you said this is a perfect time for it?
I think so. The break between non-conference and conference is a good time. You get four games in, you know, you get the initial fatigue, and you get beat up in those first four games, the travel, you know, that type of thing. So I think it's coming at a good time, because they're gonna get some guys back, which we'll get into. It's just more of a mental thing, more of a clean break too between the two, like I said, the non-conference conference. So now you can prepare yourself, say, all right, hey, it's conference season, get a little break, get a breather, and time to get ready.
The problem with bye weeks, though, for fans is, doesn't it feel like it's been a long time ago since we played a game?
Right.
I mean, it feels like you should be blowing dust off that suit you wore for your induction.
Right.
You know, it just, I've done a lot the last 2 weeks. By the way, I'm going to plug real quick the honor flights that the veterans take. I just got off the plane last night with a group of veterans and got to accompany them with them to Washington, D.C. Get involved in those fundraiser, get involved any way you can. The more we can get out there, the better. These guys aren't going to be around forever. So just want to throw that out. It was a life-changing experience for me to be part of that. But, so a lot's been going on, but it just seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a slow week. And, the Missouri Valley took, you know, we're going to jump into that later too. They took the week off pretty much. Only a couple of them played. So, yeah, it was a unique weekend. Had to kind of watch nationally. I tried to a little bit. Got
what'd
kind
you,
of bored.
What'd you watch?
Oh, boy. Who were we watching out west? Who was I watching? I was doing a little Pauly, Sac. Northern Arizona and then Northern Colorado. They lost Idaho State. I thought they'd get them. Northern Colorado have been playing good. So it was a lot of Big Sky stuff. I was kind of flipping around watching those, and they're decent.
From that answer, nothing really caught your eye in the FCS over the weekend, right?
Not really. Yeah. No, I tried watching Northern Arizona and Portland State. Oh, God. No, neither of them got it. Let's put it that way. We've seen Portland State, and Northern Arizona, I was hoping to get a little bit more, but they're the same as they always are type of thing. But
they are who we thought they were.
Yeah, and I expected more in Northern Colorado, though. At home, I mean, they've looked good this year. Ed Lamb, you know, is going to turn that thing around, but they don't have much. The facilities, support, they just don't have a lot. But Idaho State took it to them pretty good, so that was interesting. Now, I believe Idaho State, they got Montana, I think, this week, so that'll be a good game. Idaho State at home, they're dangerous. They can score. It's just whether they can stop anyone.
The power of Twitter. I've kind of checked out of the world what's been going on, and I saw in the news that we've added Iowa as another FBS game in 2027. Those are great games, right? Oh. They're within the region, and we know Iowa is a winnable game. Right? We've seen it done. People can go in and do it.
Well, the thing about Iowa, it's for many reasons why it's a great schedule. I mean, that's a credit to Bill Chaves. That's just, it's regional. It's a big brand name. They're always good. They're always an 8-9 win team. But what I like about it is kind of like Kansas State this year is on offense, they're a pedestrian outfit. They hang around. See, if you see it, like back in the day, UND would schedule some teams that were like a Texas Tech, you know, stuff like, you know, those teams can get after you and blow you out. They just don't have a conscience. They'll just go move. Whereas Iowa, they'll shut it down and punt if they're up by 6 points, you know, and so you're in it. As long as you can play defense and you can slow them down, they're going to slow you down because they're always good on defense. They're always physical up front, so that'll be an issue. But you have a chance going in there is the point. Yeah. Like South Dakota State the other year, geez, they went in there and I think they only scored 3 points or 6 points or something, but it was like 10-3. The gamers up, you know, they were in it and they had a chance. They just couldn't break through because Iowa's so fundamentally sound every year, but they aren't looking to blow you out. So it's like, all right, you know, I like the schedule. Obviously it's brand name recognition in the area. And so that was a good one. I mean, UND's at Iowa State, Kansas State. I think we had Nebraska. We got Nebraska coming up again. We got the Gophers coming up again. That's perfect for the fan base. Because during the transition and that, we had to keep scheduling those West Coast. You know, we didn't have to, but I think it was harder. So we had to keep doing those West Coast teams, and it's just not Utah, Washington. It doesn't mean as much to the fan base.
And it's like Iowa City is not a bad drive.
Yeah, that's doable. Just like Ames, you know, Ames is doable down from Minneapolis type of thing. So, that's credit to UND.
And we should talk about that. Boy, looking at people that listen to this, Minneapolis, thank you so much. I see the stats. I'm starting to figure this out. Minneapolis, a good hub for UND football fans, and we appreciate all of you listening, but especially that Twin Cities area. So, Get your butt down to Iowa in 2027 and support this football team, because that's really not a bad drive from the cities. We just added a sponsor. I believe there was communication issues because this summer was a busy summer for writing policies, I guess. This is the rumor mill. I don't really understand it, but that's what we'll go with, I guess. But,
communication issue.
Toasted Frog of Grand Forks, welcome back. Not sure what happened there, but.
No, they're back. Yeah, we got it figured out. Between John and myself, we got it. He's back, downtown Grand Forks. Everyone knows.
There's no behind-the-scene issues. Don't worry. they've been a good sponsor, and Toasted Frog at Grand Forks, really a great spot. If you come in Friday night before a game, right, make that your headquarters, or Saturday after a game.
The parents of the players love it. We've gotten those reviews from them. They'll message us on Twitter, be like, cool to see, you know, Toasted Frog's a sponsor. We go there the night before the game, or we go there after the game as a family. We love that place. So, yeah, it's been a good good relationship, and they, you know, everyone in Grand Forks knows what it is. And now it's good that the, you know, the families of the incoming, the new players, everybody, they start to figure it out where to go. And that's one of them for sure.
Yeah, Development Homes, Inc., gaming, simulcast, horse racing, electronic pull tabs, blackjack, pig wheel. Thing I like about Development Homes, Inc. is that you can play bingo pretty much like at noon, you know?
Yeah, every.
Yeah. Yep. We found that out over at Rumors. Also, Interstate Industrial, the oil field services. Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance. Throw that phone number out, Kelly.
701-532-0624.
And what are you writing this week?
Home and auto tank.
And if I'm a North Dakota resident and maybe I have a lake home and a retirement home in Arizona, can you do all three? Package that up for me?
That's the sweet spot right
maybe
there.
Maybe put some auto.
Yeah, the Minnesota lake home.
Can you do a jet ski or?
Oh, yeah. Yep. The Minnesota lake home and the Arizona vacation home. That's where the savings are, Tank.
And you'll answer your phone and get back to people, right?
Yeah.
That's a key in your industry, I guess,
that's a
right?
big part of it. Yep.
TankLogo.com, Tank McNamara. That's me, yeah. Promotional products, corporate apparel, websites, e-commerce platforms, print. Pretty much anything you need a logo, we can help you. And then also the crew over at Rumors Sports Bar, Grill, and Casino. Just a great place to go grab a beer. Right? Safe to say that, right? I mean, you can't, if you want to sit back and throw back a couple of cool ones, Rumors is your headquarters, great UND supporters, and also great supporters of the podcast here. So we thank you very much. Great lunch. Lunch is a great place there. Lunch
specials, correct. Yeah, Rumors, day one. Billy's been with us since day one. I think he was our first sponsor on this show. So, yeah, proud to be associated with them over there. They do a good job.
Do you know, and this is key to a good bar, I've never had a warm beer there.
No.
Never.
Frosty.
Yep, they're always nice and cold, and that's how I like it. My favorite cold beer. So, yeah, we're excited for another week of football here at UND Football 360. Well, it's time now for the Kelly Howe Agency Game Review and Development Homes guest segment. And Kelly Howe Agency Game Review. Kelly Howe Agency, anyone know the phone number for that if we need to call and get some rates?
Well, you said Game Review. It's kind of a bad segment this week.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of notes for you in here, Tank, on a Game Review, but... thanks for the plug. I appreciate that. We're just going to, I think the Development Homes guest is the going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting in this segment.
I am like Ron Burgundy. If you type it, I will read it. So guest this week is a great guy from the Grand Forks Herald, the beat writer for the University of North Dakota football team, Tom Miller, a man who's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to UND football. And don't ask him about it. Just read it, right? Yep. Buy a subscription, right, Tom?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's sell those newspaper subscriptions here.
Yeah. Hey, I'm doing something new this year. What have we been in the Alera since, was it 2001 or 2000?
One.
2001. So I've never really hung out in the press box. So now I've been sitting in there. Tom, what's your record for most boats of popcorn in one game? I see you, you know, down on that end, up at that table quite a bit.
I'm more about setting records in the Diet Coke department.
Okay.
Which is why I sit on the end, so that, you know, at every dead ball, I can test my 40-yard time to the suite level bathrooms and back.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was up there, I can't remember if it was last week or the first game, they were running really thin on the liquids up there. I don't know what happened, if I got there too late or what, but usually they got mellow yellow in there, which is what I need, and there was nothing. I mean, they were down to a couple Gatorades. Was that just first game jitters? Did they
have issues? Stick around, my friend, because when we left, they restocked everything, probably from the suites next door, and I had plenty of beverages for the ride home.
Well, I don't know. Okay. What the heck?
That was Eric Schmidt's plan. It was less media sodas and more shakes for the boys to
get. Is that where they're saving money?
Next thing we know, Schmidt now will have the nutrition dietitian department making us shakes up there and doing a workout. Yeah. So, speaking of getting healthy, the Hawks had a bye week. Tom, me and Kelly had been talking about it. Probably a great time right now for the Hawks to have it. Are they getting healthy up there right now?
I think for the most part, but I think there's enough guys that are really close that they haven't really defined, you know, a handful of guys. I feel like the whole tight end room is, you know, going to be game time decisions here in Northern Iowa from what I can see. And so, you know, that's what I'll be watching. There's a couple wide receivers that are a little dinged up that I'll have an eye on. But I think this bye week came at a good time for a handful of guys outside of obviously Caleb Olsen and Braden Moore, who are on that long-term list, but, good timing for a bye week to get some of these guys that have been game time decisions. Maybe you can get them back in the mix here.
Tom, looking at the, team, you know, just from a 30,000 foot view, you watched them all fall. Now you've seen four games. First off, I want to ask you, what are you surprised about anything in particular that offensively, defensively, I'll give you a sec to think about it here, but is anything surprised you've been like, wow, this looks a lot better than I expected, or fans got to be really enjoying this part of the team, you know, the new look under Eric Schmidt. Is there anything that you can point to?
Yeah, I think two things, one on offense and one on defense. You know, I think on offense, everybody's been watching now for a long time the quarterback spot, you know, especially with Jerry Kaminsky being in the mix last fall and then again this fall. And, you know, I think one of the reasons that expectations were a little bit tempered offensively was, you know, what to expect at quarterback. And I think Jerry Kaminsky had shown me signs that he could run the offense. He could be a very viable option. I think what surprised me is his poise and his command of the offense, his ability to go on the road and not get rattled. I think to start a career in his first two road games are, you know, in Manhattan and in Missoula, to not have pre-snap, you know, it feels like he's getting the play called, he's delivering it out to his team, and they're not panic snapping. You know, it just feels like some of those little things that I almost anticipated and assumed were going to be issues. You know, you haven't seen just kind of like organizational penalties. He's only thrown one interception, and basically it was a reverse Statue of Liberty play at Montana, in which, you know, I don't think Gavin Zeebarth maybe did the greatest job picking up Peyton Wing, and he just kind of took it out of Jerry's hands. So Jerry has really impressed me, and you don't get a great sample in fall camp on like how good of a runner is this kid. And he does, like, Jerry, I would say, isn't like a dynamic runner, right? So it's just a lot of athleticism and feel and picking up the yards when they're there. And so those were hard things for me to know. And I think those have impressed me the most on offense. On defense, I thought that it would be glaring that UND was switching to a 3-4. They were already thin at nose guard when you were going to double their bodies needed inside there to play on one particular play when you're going from a nose guard to two D tackles. You know, but based on last year, their nose guards were, you know, Elijah Beach, Craig Orlando, and that young kid out of Iowa, Bleegan, his name's escaping me here. And you lose those three. So you're like, you go into this year and you need defensive tackles and you got to stop the run. And you're just going to have no experience. And then at spring ball and fall camp, I thought a couple of the, you know, there were a couple of transfers who came in who picked up injuries almost immediately. And I thought, gosh, these are bad signs. You know, a lot of times when you pick up some of those injuries early as a transfer, it feels like they just nag and nag. And I thought defensive tackle would be a glaring spot of weakness. And I haven't thought it has been through four games. So I guess those are the two that are like, I didn't quite know that's how it was going to play out.
Yeah, that's great. Those are two real good ones that we've talked to a lot about. Obviously, Jerry, like you pointed out, his only interception was when his arm got hit. So, you know, he's played very well. I mean, exceeded all expectations. I think we can all agree on that. But
I think adding to that, though, you could say the whole quarterback room, because just talking to these guys, it sounds like that quarterback battle, Tom didn't do anything to these guys. It's business as usual for these guys, and they're still great friends.
Yeah, and, you know, I think for a while there, we lost track of the fact that Jerry was so young and still is young, you know. And so everybody wanted him to day one step in and be a superstar, and that's not always how development works. And maybe we could say the same about Javance, you know. Maybe there's a time in the future that certain things click on and he starts to develop a more well-rounded game. So I feel like that gets lost in all this too, is sometimes it just takes time and patience is hard.
Speaking of the quarterbacks now, last game, Simon came in. I believe he ran a reverse pass, but then he came in and ran the offense once the game, you know, started, once the lead started to extend. Is there anything to read into that? I mean, am I supposed to take from that he's the number two now? Or is there nothing there?
I think there's a lot there, right? I don't know where to start unpacking.
Right.
I believe them when they say that Simon came to the staff and said, I'm not doing this team as good as I can by standing next to you coaches on the sideline. I think you should use me as a wide receiver. I think we're going to see more and more of him as a wide receiver. I think seeing him at quarterback could have been twofold. One, my first reaction was, this is a film gimmick here. Everybody who scouts us now, waste time on this, please. Or not waste time, but just spend time on this. Because now we've got a quarterback who's shown that he can be on the field at the same time, and there are a lot of different ways you could utilize that. We obviously saw that with Brock Boltman. That can be a very interesting tool. Corey Tye was also a high school quarterback, so you know, it feels like Portland State of a few years ago, where they just had five quarterbacks on the field at the same time. So, you know, I think there's some gamesmanship to Simon in some of the roles he played the other day. But I also think that there's like this kid's slippery. Let's see what he can give us offensively. Let's see if we can work in some packages that can take advantage of his skill set. And I like it. I think it's really cool. I think one of the reasons that I had a really hard time saying in fall camp that, like, this offense is Jerry's, no doubt, is there's a different feel on the sideline when Simon does something well. He is obviously, I think the phrase Eric Schmidt used is endeared himself to his teammates. When Simon does something well, there's a different juice on the sideline and a different atmosphere. Guys like to play hard for him. And so I think if you can get him on the field, you do it.
Yeah, I visited with him after the Valpo game. Great guy. Wow, Tom, I mean, you've covered him. You've talked to him a lot more than I have. But just being around him and talking with him, just a super young man. But I love the story about him and his high school buddy, or a buddy from back home, said, why don't you give to go tell those guys, whatever I can do for the team, put me at wide receiver, put me at running back, put me in a wildcat, I don't care, I want to play. And I think it's going to work out great for this team, especially, you know, I think Kelly, you and I talked about it a little bit last week with Simon. Sometimes his issues, his mechanics got off because his size did get to him sometimes trying to throw over that offensive line. Well, now you can get him out in space, and wow, he can be really dangerous.
He doesn't need to play 70 snaps anymore.
Yeah.
You can run him in there. And it would be interesting, you know, Tom, I don't know if you think this might be stupid, but would he run a series, you know, come in, not just, you know, line up at wide receiver, run one play and go stand on the sideline for 25 in a row. I wonder if they'd bring him in and run a series, and all of a sudden he's just running down the field, you know, with some different types of plays, and keep the juice going, maybe. I don't know. Am I seeing that wrong? Because it felt like that's what they were at Valpo. He came in, you know, third quarter. He was in there and running the offense. It was just it really shocked me.
Yeah. Well, I think I've been a little bit surprised that Javance, when he's gotten his chances here this year, looked
you know, pretty uncomfortable throwing the football at times. And, you know, and so to your point, with Jerry Kaminsky being your leading rusher, perhaps you feel like you need to make sure that you've got a safety valve here. You know, any single one of these runs could mean that it's a Simon Javance conversation immediately for your starting quarterback. And so perhaps it is an opportunity to give him a chance to run the offense on a series here or there. But also maybe it's an opportunity to see, like, what if Jerry were to go down on one of these runs? What's our smartest move to turn to?
I can tell you the coaching staff, I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was in the first half against Valpo, Jerry lit up that guy from Valpo in front of the UND bench, and I know his offensive coordinator wasn't real happy about the decision-making. I was trying to get Isaac to say, but you got to admit, that was a pretty good lick he put on that guy. He's like, I don't want to say it. So.
I think that was one of the things I was looking through for fall camp. These last two fall camps was, if you watch Jerry's high school highlight film, he's got some, I don't know what you call it, not a Johnny Manziel, swagger, maybe a Baker Mayfield swagger. Like he plays with passion and energy and fun. Like Jerry is a fun guy to watch. If you go back and watch his high school highlight film, it's different than what I saw in fall camp. And I think to some extent, maybe once he got labeled QB1, now we're starting to see more of his true self. And that speaks to maybe what you're talking about, Tank, and that they're going to have to walk him back on some of those things. But, you know, like when he scored a touchdown here or there, you know, we're starting to see a little more personality come through and maybe not be so robotic. And maybe that is something that helps him and shows his true colors.
I was saying you want him to slide there. And I think I was talking to him, too. Are we going to see, like, if Simon's running the ball, is he supposed to slide now, or what's the deal there? But he said, I don't really want the guy sliding because so many guys get hit in the head. Yeah. So kind of go forward. Or he said, in Jerry's case, he could have stepped two steps and he would have been out of bounds there. He didn't have to do anything. So I think just that competitive spirit gets in there. Tom, I know you got that crystal ball in your bag. I know you carry it with you all the time. So I want you to reach in, pull that thing out. We're 2-2 right now. Look into that thing and tell me, are we going 6-2 the rest of the year?
Oh, jeepers. You weren't even going to Northern Iowa. You were going all the way down here.
Oh, we don't care about this week. We want your overall thoughts. So, yep. What does that thing say? I'll give you 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, I think that's going to be tough. Yeah. I've seen some awesome signs. You know, I haven't seen a team prepared to be in a fourth quarter game in Missoula. I haven't seen a team be in a fourth quarter game against a Power Four opponent. They're just 2-2, but those were some really good signs. That's hard just because you got North Dakota State and South Dakota State on the schedule, and North Dakota State looks like a world beater right now. So, it's going to be a tough hill to climb, and boy, we're going to learn a ton through this Northern Iowa, Youngstown State, Southern Illinois stretch. Like, okay, is North Dakota knocking at the door of the XDSUs, or are they still swimming down in the down in that next tier here with Youngstown and Southern and Northern?
Well, we all know the road issues. So yeah, I mean, we got to factor that in because they got to go to Southern Illinois and Northern Iowa.
We're done with that. Schmitty's changed all that moving forward.
Hey,
he told me.
I can't wait to not ask the question. Yeah. Bubba Schweigert was sick of it. I'm sure Eric Schmidt is sick of it, and I'm sick of it. But it's the storyline until it's not here. We'll see if Saturday is to an end of putting that to rest.
Well, you know. Do you see anything different? I was going to ask Tom, because on the road now they've had two road games. They lost them both, but we said they were in them both. Could have won them easily. Do you see anything differently out of this team from Friday into Saturday morning into the afternoon game time on the road? Are they doing anything schematically differently, schedule wise?
Yeah, I mean, they talk about all those logistics, right? Like, I fly with the team charter, and so the charter is leaving later in the day on Friday, and they're trying to handle all their business in Grand Forks that they can get done before they hit the road, and maybe doing a little bit less of look at this cool stadium, let's take some pictures, and you know, it's straight up go to the hotel, eat, meetings, sleep, wake up, go play football. I think maybe some of the feedback that Coach Schmidt got from some of his leaders when he arrived was like, we're spending too much time hanging out in the hotel. They don't want to do that. They wanted to go a little bit later, play some, you know, strictly business. And I think is some of that like superficial, and does it really mean anything? Yeah, I guess if a kid thinks it means something, maybe there's power in that. And so I don't know if they would say exactly like, we're doing things different logistically, and that's why things are more successful. I think if you, like, from my opinion, I think they've been more successful on the road because Eric Schmidt has beaten home day after day after day after day, just a mental toughness, a physical toughness. And I think the confidence that Coach Schmidt just kind of naturally exudes on the sideline, I think that's contagious. You know, I'm a believer that teams take on the personality of their head coach. And I think taking on the personality of their head coach is beneficial to their road needs.
Kelly, did you ever play a night game at South Dakota State? I'm trying to think of who else maybe you'll play.
I don't think they had lights.
They didn't have lights. Because I think we did a game there in the early 2000s. They had lights. So we did a night game there. Yeah. What was your thoughts on hotels?
Oh, it's boring.
On the road, I mean, it's just
boring. You're sitting around. I can see that. Yeah, I can see where
you can see that.
Well, but I suppose there's nothing you can do, you know, on Saturday. Yeah, I mean, because you're getting in Friday night. So there's nothing you can do about a 6 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. But I suppose there's ways to break it up differently, come up with different activities, you know, not have 17 meetings in a row, I suppose, is the best, you know, but then not leave them in the room for 3 hours straight either. And yeah, I suppose there's just ways to go about Saturday. But that point you made, Tom, about getting in Friday night, yeah, I suppose that reduces that. So that window gets smaller. So now you're getting in, touching down, eating, having meetings, and going to bed. Okay, now all of a sudden game day is here. Maybe that, I don't know. You know, just reduce a little bit of the real dull downtime that the coaches are worried about. I don't know.
I know when I traveled with the team, my schedule was dependent on whether that game was Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. That made a big difference of what I did on the road. Right.
We had no idea fun. What you're talking about.
Yeah. Those Saturday night kickoffs, holy cow. We'll just leave it at that, huh? But should be a fun one, Tom. And I do want to touch on this before we leave. You know, before the season started, all we had was the off-season recruiting. Like, we were winning and life was good, and we're like, oh, we haven't even played a game yet. But we can't forget that recruiting class still holds, and it's still pretty darn good. The bye week in college football is always a good time for these guys to get out on the road and go catch a high school game. I know Missouri was a bit of a hot spot this past weekend.
Iowa.
What did you hear about some of these coaches out on the road this week trying to hang on to some of these guys?
Yeah. I mean, just look at social media right now on some of these, you know, it's the good and the bad, right? If the FBS schools aren't interested in the kids you have committed, they're probably not that great. But right now, that doesn't make anybody sit real comfortable with the – I think the hard part is, like, you got to – what do you do? Like, do you give half the staff? Like, you guys are 2027 kids. We got to care about 2027. You guys, we got to go recruit the kids we already have committed. You know, it's it'd be kind of interesting to see how they break that down exactly, because these 2026 kids now you're starting to see, okay, the Ethan Headings kid looks like he's going to go visit Iowa. George Roll, he's a big tight end out of Wisconsin. He's flipped to Minnesota now after he was at that Rutgers game in Minneapolis. So, you know, it's a feather in the cap that they have put together a really good recruiting class, and it's probably complimentary that teams are coming in on him now. and it's buckle up time if you're a UND football fan with that recruiting class.
So what do you think is a bigger deal now for us to hang on to these? You know, NIL is always going to be an issue. You know, there's bigger schools out there that have more money. Or is the culture and now the facilities good enough at UND to keep these guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because
we haven't had that in our back pocket. We had, well, maybe someday, here's the plan. But now, now we have no excuses.
Yeah, I would think if a Big Ten school and a Big 12 school come in and give kids scholarship, now, who knows what that looks like these days. Scholarships are a little open-ended when it comes to NIL plus to it. But if the Big Ten or Big 12 comes in, sometimes you might have to tip your cap and say good luck to you, kid, because you're not going to win that race very often. Now, what you got to avoid is like the Carter Papp situation, the wide receiver out of Kansas who was committed here for a long time and ended up flipping to South Dakota State. Ended up going with Danny Freund to Washington State, but I think what you have to avoid is losing guys to, you know, a MAC school or losing guys to another FCS school. If you're going to lose guys, lose them to the Big Ten. Maybe you'll see them back around in 3 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. Make the inroads and they go there and they find out they're not cut out for it. They don't like that town. They whatever, or they're buried, and you know it can be. Sometimes it comes around in 4 months. You know, Christmas time, they're all sudden calling again.
And it's weird. Like some of our guys that are posting some of their FBS offers, it's like, really? I get it, right? You want to show people are still interested, but
as soon as I see the highlights, Tank. Soon as I see the highlights come out, my radar's perked.
Right. Yep. That's a good point. It's a different world, you know. But here, it's fun that we can be sitting here talking about this because there's 6 to 8 guys at least that are gonna be, you know, they're gonna be scrambling to hold on to, you know, all into December. And I don't know, you know, he doesn't have endless money, you know, to keep throwing at NIL. You know, he can't keep up in numbers. So yeah, like you said, Tom, at some point, you just tip your cap and say, all right,
because you got to retain too, right? Like, you know, the most important thing with NIL, you know, I don't know what if I'm a head coach, I don't know what my NIL piggy bank is like, but I'm going to say, what percentage of that do I care to make sure that my offensive line stays intact? Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably where a good majority of my money would be best spent, would be in retention as opposed to recruiting.
True. That's a good point.
It's a weird world we live in, and last week's podcast with the bye week, if you want a little great story on where we're at with college football right now, we talked with the athletic director, Bill Chaves, last week, and kind of it was just it's a discussion that probably might not mean anything in 2 years because we'd be like, wow, I can't believe we were talking about that because it's changing so fast and the direction's going on. I don't think anyone has a compass on this, so... quite crazy, but recruiting is definitely different to cover now, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that was a great podcast with Bill Chaves. I listened to it while I mowed my lawn the other day. I don't like to miss any sort of newsworthy items in my world, and I picked up on a couple things in that podcast that I didn't quite know. So, you know, tip of the hat to you guys for having that one. That was good stuff.
Yeah, these guys that are getting paid now and professionally or whatever you want to call it, now working their way into college athletics. Yeah, that's just opening a whole new can of worms, isn't it?
Crazy. Yeah. Totally different.
All right, Tom. Well, have fun at the, what do they call it? The Uni Dome?
Yep.
Magic carpet.
Do you bring
plexiglass roof?
A defibrillator for that climb up the stairs? It's been almost 20 years since I've done it, but well, I couldn't imagine doing it now. That's a hike up there, isn't it?
That's a time travel. You know, it gives you some Idaho State vibes.
Yes.
But it really gives you some Dakota Dome vibes. Like the Dakota Dome has maybe put a little bit more, hopefully nobody in Vermillion is listening to this, but a little more lipstick on the pig there. Yeah, but like it, it is the exact feel. And I said that to somebody last time I was there, and they're like, yeah, the guy who built the Dakota Dome came here and then built the Uni Dome right next. Yeah. So, like, they're just one's red, one's purple.
Years ago, when Coach Schmidt was a D coordinator, let's say 16 range, 15, somewhere in there, they went out to Idaho State. You were probably with right in that range. It could have been 17, 18. But he said, I think we squeaked out a win. I don't know if you remember, it was like 27-17. Just kind of a ugly game. Bad. We won. And they were terrible. We were actually a decent team. And we squeaked out a win. And I talked to him the next week. He's like, my entire team was asleep. He goes, I couldn't get up. He goes, we're walking out on the field. I'm looking around, you know. He goes, God, I didn't know what era we're in. He goes, my guys look like they're falling asleep. We had no energy. He goes, I was worried. He goes, we're lucky to get out of there with a win. And it's true. I mean, you get in there and you wonder where you're at after, you know, a decent day of travel and just no buzz. You're like, is this 1974 or what? You know, you're looking at those seat colors out at like Idaho State, the every section had a different pastel color to it. It's like, it's real though.
Yeah. Well, you could tell that that was real because the next time they went out to Pocatello, all of the messaging from the coaching staff to, I'm sure the players, but then, you know, to the media and like press conferences was like, we have to create our own energy. We have to have energy on the sideline. Like the way that they were hammering that the next time North Dakota went to Pocatello was like, that was obviously the takeaways from the previous trip.
All right, Tom, that's going to wrap it up. And enjoy the game, and we really do appreciate you taking the time and coming on. And I was kind of joking around earlier, but serious, subscribe to the Herald. Pay to read Tom's stuff. It's well worth it, and you won't regret it. So keep up the good work, Tom.
I appreciate that plug, and I appreciate what you guys do. I always got to make sure I don't miss anything, so I'm listening.
Well, let's get into that Toasted Frog trip around the Missouri Valley. Thanks to our friends at the Toasted Frog of Grand Forks. Great place for parents and fans from around the region and Grand Forks to make it your home for UND football weekends. Missouri Valley football, college football scoreboard. North Dakota State, wow. They just took it to South Dakota 51-13. I caught a little bit of the post game of that, just kind of, I was down at the lake on Saturday and was in the car coming home and listened a little bit of it. It just sounded like South Dakota should have just stayed in Vermilion. Like, yeah, really?
We've spent time talking about how they're down, so we've covered that, but this one was just non-competitive. I mean, they weren't even... It's not like they had a bad day and they just don't look good in the dome. Like sometimes UND shows up and they don't even look good in the dome, but the next week they'll look great. South Dakota just hasn't looked good at all. And then they showed up in the dome and look worse. And yeah, they're just that portal hit them pretty hard and they did not replace the way they needed to replace. And they just don't, I mean, they don't look the part. They don't, you know, it's just, it was a, that was a world-class ass-kicking, I mean, is what that was, and from beginning to end, and I don't know, I mean, now we say all this, UND better go down there and win.
Yeah.
You know? Of course, that place is a house of horrors for UND. I mean, probably won once there in the last 15 years, but...
That was like an overtime Great West.
Yeah, I think I was win, doing right? that. I was doing the radio.
Didn't we win the Great West Conference Championship because of a last second
field
goal?
I was standing in the end zone. Yeah, the field goal. I was standing underneath the uprights, I think. And yeah, on the radio for that one. That was quite a while ago. So yeah, I mean, we haven't had many gone down there much, but when we haven't won. So hopefully, knock on wood here, UND can still go down there and win. But yeah, NDSU is looking really good. You know, obviously they're looking sound and.
They got a pretty good quarterback to wide receiver thing going on right now, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They got weapons this year. This isn't just the running version of NDSU anymore. Yeah. They're throwing. So,
it's funny to watch people crap talk South Dakota on their stadium. I think it's athletic facility expansion, right? They're gonna do some stuff, but
yeah,
I thought they just renovated the dome down there.
They did, but the concourses are so tight, and
it's they didn't change those at all.
No, when that's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother world when you want to do that. I think they did a lot of cosmetic stuff, locker room, you know, things like that. So it got nicer, but it's just is what it is. I mean, it's like after 50 years, it's like you can only do so much to a structure.
Put so much lipstick on a pig.
Yeah,
right?
It's an oval structure like that. I mean, you can only do so much to it, you know. And yeah. So now they're going to sink, I don't know what else, into this one now. It said they're going to make the concourses bigger, which is good because they were way too small. I mean, that's it. The nice thing about the Alaris that people need to understand, it was built correctly the first time, fundamentally, structurally. So, sure, expanding it might be a problem. I mean, that might be a big venture. You got to kick out one, you know, kick out the end or something. But the concourses, the restrooms, they're all the escalators. There's more than enough room to get up. You can get in and do in quick fashion. You can get through the doors, you know, type of thing. So it's just, it was made correctly the first time. So UND doesn't need, or Grand Forks, City of Grand Forks doesn't have to do anything to it other than keep making it better, which they've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, aesthetically. You know, keep trying to improve things, and they've been doing that.
Especially with those convention center ballrooms.
Yeah.
Wow, they just put a ton of money in.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The press box suite level is way different than when that place opened.
Redid those. Yep.
New turf that's always down now, and you don't have that
open
concrete at the end where you're watching guys slip coming off. I hate it. We're lucky no one ever really got hurt.
Yeah, I remember Santiago running off the end and sliding on his cleats. I'm like, oh, no, everyone.
Holding their breath till the last thing turned around and threw the ball to the ref. It's like, oh, thank you.
But, yeah.
South Dakota, kind of crazy on that. South Dakota State beats Mercyhurst 51-7. Boy, not knowing anything about that game, not shocked on that score.
Well, it ended up being a little more than it was. I think it was 23-7 and a half.
Mercyhurst is.
They're okay. They're not as bad as you'd think. They've battled a little bit, you know, battled some teams, and but I think they're running out of juice. They're a transition D1 team, so they're playing anyone. Well, because they count towards the playoffs, much like Utah Tech, their phone's ringing off the hook. I mean, everybody's trying to schedule them. Well, they played Montana State the week before. Now they play South Dakota State. They're just traveling around to collect a paycheck, you know, and get beat while they're in the transition because they're not eligible for the playoffs anyway. But they count for the playoffs. So, yeah, they're putting together a heck of a schedule here. And it's, yeah, they're going to, I think they're about going to be out of juice here, you know, and until they get into some lighter games moving forward.
I was going to ask you, you were pretty high on Bauman at South Dakota last year, right?
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
heck of a player. Yeah.
Wow. So what's that say about his stock right now, knowing what he had last year to work with? Is he part of the problem? Is he having a down year? Or can a guy only do so much in that position if you don't have
Their O-line. The
tools.
Problem.
And
yeah,
they
yeah,
just
yeah.
can't.
Well, Pierre, the running back, got knocked out for the year, so he's out. That hurts, obviously, if your best player, your best dynamic player, I guess. Their O-line's down. They lost, I think, a couple went into the portal, one graduated, and they didn't replace them. And their O-line was good last year, good, solid O-line, but this year it's just not what it is. I mean, they don't look the part. You know, especially their defensive line, too. They just don't look the part this year that they used to look like. And, yeah, so, I mean, you can say his stock is down, but he didn't get worse in the offseason. It's just not gelling right now. You know, new coach, so we got to factor that in. Their playmakers just aren't what they were, but the O-line. I mean, if you just don't have time or you can't run the ball when you want to run the ball, now the quarterback's not as effective, that type of thing. So, yeah, he's still dangerous. He can still wing it around. There's nobody 6'5", 240, or whatever he is. He can still get stuff done, but they're just struggling. It's going to take them time. I wish we were playing them now and not towards the end of the year, because I'm guessing they're going to be a little better at the end of the year than they are now, but we'll see.
Or an injury or two, they could be a lot worse, right?
We'll see.
Well, let's move this thing forward. Let's
Let's pretend we're filling up a cold beer at Rumors right now to do this game preview. Rumors Sports Bar, Grill and Casino, our 360 game preview. Northern Iowa on the road this week, 4 o'clock. 2-2 on the season is Northern Iowa, 2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. Let's just start there. The facility we're going into, nothing glorious about this place.
No, and they got renovations in place. So it hasn't started yet, though? Yeah, just the roof. They did the roof, plexiglass roof. So I don't know, maybe that's cool. But, yeah, they're just starting. So, yeah, it'd be new once again, new seats, new suites. Everything like that's coming next. But, you know, I suppose they got to get through the football season, and then they'll have at those. But, yeah, they're good at home. You know, they're better at home. Last time we went there was the worst game I've watched in quite a long time because we had beaten NDSU the week before and then showed up in there and got shut out. This looked terrible. So, you know, they should have a little payback on their mind. Let's put it this way. But, yeah, Northern Iowa, 2-2 in the year. Much like us, they're much better at home. Not so good on the road. They beat Butler at home, which Butler is a Pioneer League team, you know, middle to top half, you know, top half. And then they beat Eastern Washington at home, but only 17-14, and Eastern Washington's way down. So that one's really interesting. Then on the road, though, it hasn't been good. Add Wyoming 31-7, which, okay, you know, they should play Wyoming a little tougher than that. But at last, 2 weeks ago, so they were on a bye last week too, like us. 2 weeks ago, they lost at Utah Tech, the aforementioned Utah Tech that I brought up, that, you know, doing the transition.
Yeah.
They used to be called Dixie State for anyone paying attention, but they lost 20-9 to Utah Tech. Ooh, tank.
You're saying they'd like to have that one back?
Yeah, that's a bad loss. That's a bad, bad loss. I mean, and 9 points, you know, against a team that's just not a very good football team and transitioning to D1. So I think we're going to get a different animal down there this week. I mean, they'll be back home coming off a bye. I'm sure their coach has their attention now after that loss. But yeah, they're like, when I was looking at the stats, 400 yards a game plus at home is what they put up on offense. 170 yards and 200 yards is what they put up on the road in the two games. So unfortunately, we're getting them at home. So I'm expecting a little different performance out of them. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting, but it's got to be a winnable game.
The way our run defense is playing is a check mark for us going in?
I would think so. Yeah, they're not running the ball very well.
Key well?
Yeah. They got the running back, Bay Bowie. Big kid, 5'10", 215, big. We played him last year, physical kid. But their O-line just isn't what it was. When you think of Northern Iowa, you think of those big O-linemen. Like, yep. And I remember Coach Schmidt tell me years ago that when they were at Southern Illinois, they'd go into Iowa and try to get O-linemen. You couldn't get them because Iowa would take them, Iowa State would take them, and then Northern Iowa would take them. Well, you know, they didn't want to leave the state. They knew they'd go to Northern Iowa and develop and play in a, you know, a normal, pretty pedestrian system, but they'd have a chance to go pro because they developed them really well. Like, the, was it Penning and Brown, I think, are the 2 6'7" O linemen they got now in the NFL. Just big maulers, mean dudes too. So, but when I look at these guys, I'm not seeing it. I don't know. I think they're going through a little transition phase here. They're just, last year their O line wasn't very good either. So they're having a little trouble replicating, I guess, that success in the along the front, and it's affected their offense greatly.
And as we learn about Schmidty's new defense, it sounds like if you have that solid front four, you can really do a lot with this defense. And now we're playing pretty good up front on the run. Do you think we have enough up front to maybe put some guys off and do some stuff to maybe disguise some things in that passing game?
I would think that's a good point, Tank. I think in this one, yeah. I mean, I think you could try with your four up front.
We haven't really seen that yet out of this defense, right?
Yeah.
Front four is really taken over.
Anytime you can bring four and drop seven, you're in business. Okay. Yeah. You're gonna win football games. That's what everyone wants, right? Well, what was it the other night? Denver was bringing three against Cincinnati and dropping 8 in the second half and getting home too. Like, holy cow. I mean, I could run that defense if it goes that way. But yeah, if we can get the 4 up front to control the line a little bit, yeah, then they're in business. Now they can do whatever they want type of thing. But we're shorthanded up front.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, well, there's a chance. I mean, this is, like I said, this is a little different animal at home, but there's opportunities, and he'll get a feel for it. That's what D coordinator, first thing they do is try to watch up front, see if they can get a feel for what's happening, because they don't want to bring pressure. They want those 4 to tee off and control everything. Then great, now I can do whatever I want, you know. But we'll see. It'll be interesting. It's a flexible defense. We know that. So, and the one thing though, self scouting. I know UND probably spent the week self scouting, because now they've had 4 weeks of film that the other teams have on our new defense. What do they like to do, and when do they like to do it, type of thing. So now, you know, now's the time for UND to try to adjust a little bit and not be as typical, I guess, as they were. But yeah, it's a good one. It's a good game for us to start with. I like it. The first game of the year, not the best team in the league, but on the road. See if you can get a win on the road.
And offensively right now, boy, a lot of people contributing, right? There's really not that one person. I guess in the wide receiver room right now, Fleming. But you look at Dang Dang, he's a touchdown machine right now. Yeah. You know, good for one of those a game.
They're playing a lot of guys. So, yeah, that's the thing. They should be fresh. The wide receiver certainly shouldn't be wore out. The running back shouldn't be wore out at this point of the year. I think it's the O-line. And we're getting, speaking of injuries, we're getting our tight ends back, I believe. So get them back, and that'll help the run game immensely. That'll help pass protection immensely. All downfield, you know, pass catching. It'll just help in general, whatever Isaac Frickte wants to do at the time. So that'll help. O-line, I think they'll just be fresher. They just needed a little break. They went through the gauntlet there of teams on those two road games were pretty tough. So yeah, I'm expecting a rejuvenated team, which you should have, right? Coming off a bye. I'm expecting that. Just, and the energy's there. Opening the Missouri Valley. You gotta start out 1-0. So got the energy there, and
as special teams, now the last time we were on the field, boy, you can ask for more out of special teams. Right. Do we have enough in the bag to keep going, or was it one of those games? Yeah. Do you feel we're pretty good in that department right now?
UND's always been good. Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that up, Tank. UND's always been good at special teams since Kostic has shown up. They're solid every game. I mean, when's the last time after a game that you said, God, we all got all played in special teams. They killed us on this big kick return, this big punt. No. The other teams don't do much to us in special teams, really. They might return one to the 50, you know, or something. Okay, yeah. You know, that was maybe a breakdown in coverage, whatever. But we don't give up big plays. We don't screw up, you know, snaps on extra points, or, you know, we might miss one, but we don't. But, and he's been better. Elric's been kicking well.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about those as much anymore. We are always solid on special teams. It's just the way it is. And we cover well. Our kickoff coverage this year, I think they found the recipe of young guys that are willing to go lay it on the line and run down there as fast as they can, because those guys are covering well. They're doing a nice – and the kickoffs lately have been going – I've been charting them. They've been around inside the 1 to the 4, dropping them high right in there.
It's funny how you say young guys to go out on special teams, because yep. Schmitty, after the game, was talking about the 2 punt blocks. He goes – what's that say about a guy that's willing to commit himself to run through 3 people?
Yeah.
And at the last moment, reach out as far as you can, yep, hoping you hit the right spot. I mean,
yeah, John Budge.
Because everybody has that in them, and we saw it twice.
Yeah, you got 2 of them. Yeah. See, that was just a guy making a play. Yeah. That wasn't any coaching. He just went after it and got it. And, you know, I'm sure Valpo probably could have bowed up a little bit more with that wall, but whatever, they didn't, and he took advantage of it. So yeah, I would hope UND, I mean, once again, at a minimum, let's say, you know, play him even in special teams, but never know, get another one where we get a Sawyer Seidel return, set up the offense. Tough environment, But plays three-phase football, UND should win this game.
You want me to go first? It's that time. Right. You and your stupid segment of score predictions.
Oh. Yeah, got to do it.
I want to go big on this one. I do. Yeah. I do, but I don't want to be the reason why we pissed them off. No. Yeah. Because I know how other teams listen to this podcast for your scouting report.
If they want to know what's going on, they do, right?
Because we should mention your website, because this is just a preview of, in case you're betting on UND, right? And all the good stuff is, what's that 900 number of yours for the real info? This is just your tease.
First week free. Yep.
You know what?
Half and half. Half the callers get one team, the other half get the other team, and sock them in, right?
I think I got JYD on my mind right now, and I'm going to go 48-14, UND.
Oh, jeez.
Why not? Why not?
We're going big, all right. Yep.
I threw the JYD in there. You got to have that mentality, right?
There you go. Well, I don't know if we're scoring 48 points, Tank, but all right.
This is the week. Come on.
All right, I think I'm a little more conservative on that one. I think we get out of there with a win just because on the road we're just not, you know, not the same team.
That changes.
Yeah, that changes.
This is the week.
This is the week.
It's done.
All right, well, I'm gonna go 27-20 UND.
Kyle, you're
on
no
the road.
Fun.
Tight one.
You suck the fun out of this room right now.
No, I think it's a nice methodical win. I think they'll play well on the road. I think he'll have their attention. There's things that they could definitely improve on, you know, and they have to show they can win on the road. They're still 0-2 on the road, no matter. I don't care who the opponent is. You could have won them both, but you didn't. So you're 2-2. Your record is what it says it is, and they got to go. They'll be able to show the fans that they can win on the road, Tank.
That's why I said 48-14. I'll keep saying it. We got to have that mentality, but we probably haven't had a game like that since NDSU, right? Where it's like, okay, and then we took it to them, right?
Yep.
That's what we need to
see.
They
could use one.
This would be a good week for that. Wouldn't you just set the tone?
Learn how to do it. Yeah, you got to learn how to blow out teams and, you know, learn how to dominate them. And
the
second half against Velpo, they did that, but Velpo's Velpo, so that was going to happen.
I think Velpo could have left at halftime. Some of those players watching them in the fourth quarter, they did not want to be there anymore. So hopefully we have that same mentality on Saturday, and I'm sticking with it and excited. 4:00 kickoff. Is it Midco this week?
Yeah, is Midco covering this one too? Well, ESPN, I always pull it up through the
ESPN.
It'll be on the
Plus.
ESPN. Yeah, it'll be on there. If
take
you need
that
to find
and.
It.
You know what? I did it a couple weeks ago. I sat on the lawnmower in the garage at the lake and listened to the guys on the iHeartRadio app, Jack Michaels, Mike Berg, Paul Ralston. They do a fantastic job as well. Coach Berg, you know where Mike Berg stands during a game. And he's fair about it, though. He's very fair, and he's great to listen to. Coach Berg, one of the best football guys up there. So tune in, and we'll recap it here next week. So tune into the podcast. We thank our sponsors and all of you that are listening. Please share it with other UND football fans. The more the merrier, and we'd love to see more get this UND football coverage every week. So enjoy the game, and we'll see you next week.